I tell you, with all that great music, makes me feel like I'm going to a wedding. See, I figured I could never compete with Pastor David on the suit front. I haven't preached in a suit since about 1996. And so I don't own many, but Pastor David, I got the robe today, man. I mean, you know, what could I say? A marriage made in heaven. Do you know what that sounds like? If you got a bulletin on the back of it, you'll see the scripture passage I'm about to read. I'm going to read from a slightly different translation. That's not the big deal. I want you to see the white space, and I want to invite you to use it, because I'd like for you to answer this question with a word or a phrase or at the most a sentence. A marriage made in heaven, blank, looks like, or for a marriage made in heaven, do this. Or, I'm in a marriage made in heaven, and it looks like this. A word, a phrase, or a sentence. Because I'm coming out there in a minute and asking you for your answers. All right, so you jot those down, okay? You've been forewarned. All right. Don't you First Gaithersburg people feel too comfortable, because I've been studying your directory. I know your names. I'm coming after you, Patsy Marks. Okay, hear the word of the Lord this morning. On a wedding tone, this is how I dress when I do a wedding. And this is a scripture that I read at almost every wedding I perform. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And so they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best until now." And then I love this verse. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their trust in him. My prayer is that as we come to the end of this service today, what will have happened from the first moment we started until the end today, it's all a process of our continuing to put our trust in God, believing in his power, seeing his provision, being glad to be a part of his people. That's the goal of every worship service we come to. But when you think about a marriage, a wedding in particular, to say after I read that scripture at a wedding, I say this: Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding. And today he continues to perform a miracle at every wedding, because the scripture says you come as two, but you leave as one. That's a miracle that only God can pull off. See, some of you are smart. You know where I'm going with this. You know this merger conversation we've been having. And it's true, we want to have that conversation and have that in the back of our minds, because I do believe there's a lot to be learned. The marriage illustration, the marriage parallel to the merger of two congregations, is not perfect. It has its shortcomings, but it also has a lot to share, a lot of insight to bring. And not just all that insight comes from up front. Some of that insight comes from you folks out there. And I'm going to walk this through a little bit, so I hope you're still right. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to write your word, your phrase, your one sentence about what it is to have a marriage made in heaven. You know, I actually looked it up this week, marriage made in heaven. Here's what it says: a happy or harmonious marriage or partnership, a combination which is likely to be happy and successful because the two parties are well suited to one another. Isn't that great? That's exactly right. Of course, there's also Irma Bombeck, the humorist who used to just write so many comments about the family. She's a wonderful lady. She had a book, a little thing titled A Marriage Made in Heaven. The subtitle was, I'm Too Tired to Have an Affair. I think that's lowering the bar. What we want to do today is raise the bar. And I went in search of some folks who could help us do that. And I also believe that we need to build the community between the two churches. Amen? So you need to get to know the people who are the staffs, because they will all be your staff if the merger moves forward, as we hope and pray. And so I have a few pictures. You may struggle to recognize some of these people. Some of these pictures go back away. We're going to start with some wedding pictures. Here's one I'd like to begin with. This sweet young couple, and you know, I'm not going to make any comments about their age, but this is what they looked like when they started dating. Let's go back and see. Oh yeah, that was like 4 years ago. Okay, so for them, it's not so hard. Now, there are other couples that look a little more different. I'm lucky to be married to a beautiful young lady, and when we got married, that's what we look like. She calls that her Cher hair. Those of you who remember Cher, we used to joke that she had all the big hair, and our first date, it was a sign of things to come. We took each other to the mountaintop, literally Mount Rogers, the highest mountain in Virginia, on our first date. That was our first date. That's what I used to look like. A lot of pounds and a lot of hair ago, as we say. Now, this has been too easy. The next one, I'm going to try to stump you a little bit. I could not recognize this. Let's put the next one up, the next wedding picture. Now, see, now you're thinking, who could that be? Kath, where are you all sitting? This is Kath and Dave Stauffer. This is what they look like now. Yeah. Yeah, that you got the stumper picture. I'm telling you, that was great. Thank you for sharing that. Here's another one you might enjoy, another wedding picture. This is when Lonnie was 13. He had to have special permission. Where are Lonnie and Rachel? I know you're over there. Okay, Lonnie's over there. Okay, so yeah. And here's what, look at that. He looks so erudite in that picture, I want to call him Professor. Lonnie, great. Thank you and Rachel for sharing those pictures. Let's look at the next one. All right, now this is Clark and Alva, and this is actually kind of doing theirs in reverse. This is not their wedding photo, this is a dating picture, but that's also because we have no wedding photos. They are one of the two couples on our staff who actually eloped. So Clark and Alva, that's their picture. And then they did a recommitment in their 20th, right, Clark? The 20th down in Brazil a couple years ago, out by the beach. You'll be glad to know all their children were in attendance. And so beautiful, beautiful couple, Clark and Alva. And our next picture is going to be of Miss Stacy, who was just up here a minute ago with the kids. And that's her husband, Jeff. Jeff, where'd you end up sitting over here? Our guitar player for the morning, sitting with his daughter. And I got to do that wedding. It was one of the great joys of my life. I got to know Stacy when she was 22. And Jeff was 12. No, just kidding. I was kind of hoping we were going to get the Mickey Mouse picture. They went to Disney World, and we had Mickey Mouse pictures on our wedding photos. So, all right, and one more, or not one more, but the next one. Ah, now this is dramatic. Where's Corey, man? I mean, this guy has some flair. You got to tip your hat. Corey and Leah, and man, what a great picture. And they don't look a whole lot different. They're still young and vibrant and pregnant. Okay. And here's one. Most of y'all have met. Kelly is only here during the week. She's a member of Shady Grove Press, but she's our financial secretary, Kelly Durr, sitting over here with her husband, Jeff. Give a little wave. There you go. And we have a picture of them. Look at them. And they got their beautiful daughters with them today as well. Welcome, Durr family. We're glad to have you guys with us today. And then I got one more. Look at this one. This is the second couple that eloped. Peter and Paula Moutsos. Peter led our worship this morning. Of course, Pastor Paula. And this is their... Now, see, we can only put this up for a minute because it's a Baptist pastor drinking. But to her credit, she wasn't a Baptist pastor yet when she took this picture. I'm just kidding. Marriage is made in heaven. And we'd all love to give a testimony. I'm not going to let the staff members actually speak today. I'm going to let their spouses give us their thoughts in just a minute. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to pause now in the middle of this thing. Now, I don't have a lot of time today, but I want to get your wisdom. I believe God speaks through more than just the pastors. although I'd like to think he speaks through the pastors on occasion. Amen, Pastor David. All right, so let me start somewhere over here. Corey, usually staff people get to speak, so why don't you stand up? Tell us what makes a marriage made in heaven.
Best friends.
That's good for him. All right. All right, now I got one couple. I got Nancy and Barry sitting here. Nancy, you want to take a shot at it, or you want to let the man talk? No, it's you.
It's a do this. Think of the other partner first.
Amen. All right.
I just said that's what you're supposed to
do. Did y'all hear that? She said she can't swear that she does it, thinking of the other person first. But she does know that makes a marriage made in heaven. Dan and Michelle got the little baby sitting back here. This is one of our young couples in the church. Let me come back here and ask you, which one of you wants to do the talking? All right, Dan, coach, you're up.
Listening and very patient.
Okay, I'm not touching that one. Who did we agree is handling the marital counseling and the new staff arrangement? Is that you, Paula? Okay, no, just kidding. Pastor Larry, you guys over here, Becky gets to speak.
Remembering your commitment to each other no matter what.
You gotta love that. All right. How about I come on around? Somebody else, you can wave at me if you want. If you want to take a crack at it. Jean-Freddy, this is your chance to earn some points with your wife today, brother.
Respect.
All right. I like it, man. I like it. Who else? Come on. Tap him. Right here? All right. Now, tell me name again.
Craig.
All right. You want to give us a word?
Perfect harmony of give and take.
Give and take. Right, repeat that for us.
Harmony of giving and taking.
Good word. Amen. All right. Let me keep on going around. I want to give folks. Here's a young couple. Let me show this couple right here. One both of you stand. 47 years married next week. Winnie, and this is Winnie and Greg Berkhammer. Winnie's one of our elders. Gary. Greg is their son, the drummer. Gary is a deacon in our church. Winnie's one of our elders. So I think I'll give Gary the chance to speak today.
Marriage made in heaven is two, starting out as two, coming together. And you eventually become one.
Amen. Processing. I like it. Somebody else over here. All right. Come around this way. Pass one up. Take a shot. Tell us about a marriage made in heaven.
Faith in each other.
All right. Thank you. Faith in each other. Now, I got a young couple here. The Roos, which one of you wants to talk? One of you have an answer? Got to go?
Two become one flesh.
All right. It's very scriptural. Now I finally found my wife today. I've been looking for her all over this building. And I did say that the spouses would get to speak. So, dear, other than, you know, just don't say me because that would be embarrassing. So, what is it that makes a marriage made in heaven?
Where each one takes on the dreams and goals of the other.
Man, am I a lucky man. I am a lucky man. All right. Somebody else. Oh, back here. Barbara Grooms. Tell us, Barbara. Deacon Barbara.
Although I'm single, I can still say what I want to say.
That's right.
A marriage in heaven, made in heaven, is like a lamb without a blemish.
Okay. All right. There's a deep commitment there. All right. I like that. Got this young couple here on the back, Clayton. Now, Ellen often gets to talk. Are you sure you don't want to do the talking? You're going to pass the word. All right, Ellen, you're up.
Common faith and values and trust in one another.
Provides a great foundation. Take a shot. Oh, I love that one. Here, Diane, please share.
I was married for 30 years to my best friend.
Married to your best friend. That is a great word. Mary Beth and I were friends for a good long time before we got married. It's a blessing. Somebody else. I'm running out of time, but I want to come on around and give everybody over here. I got a whole bunch of Marxes. Who's going to do the talking? Fred, okay.
Having a wonderful wife who loves everybody, but has the grace not to remember any joke I have told her.
I might break a rule and actually leave you a rebuttal on this. Let both of you speak. No, I'm just kidding. That's all right. So, Jeff, you're our guest today. You up for one?
Did
you?
Sure.
All right, please.
So what I haven't heard is it takes a little humbleness, a sense of humor, and she's probably right.
That's especially for the men. Humility, sense of humor, and knowing when to say, most of the time, she's probably right. Yeah, that's very good. Somebody, okay, got the last section over here. I'm going to give somebody a shot. Rachel, please.
Endless compromise.
Did y'all hear that? Go again. They did not hear it.
Compromise.
Endless. Endless. Endless compromise. All right, I love that about Lonnie. No, I'm sure that's all marriages in general. I got that. Okay. All right. Thank you all so much for sharing your wisdom. Now, I gotta watch my time. I need a big clock at this back. Next thing on the purchase order list is a big clock over that back door. The little watch up there that doesn't mean anything. Okay. All right. So we've heard some of our insight. I want us to hear, because one of the things we talked about when we said, what kind of church do we want? You all said, we want churches that are with sermons that are biblically based. Amen. So I thought, what do the couples in the Bible, what marriages in the Bible could speak to us quickly today about these same ideas, the principles of commitment? So let's start at the very beginning. Adam and Eve, and I actually have one of their honeymoon photos right here. Remember, Adam and Eve, now here's the amazing thing. And you might think this is a negative example, but it's actually a great learning for all of us today. Eve made exactly for Adam. If ever there was a marriage made in heaven, this is it. And yet, what do we know? The serpent was waiting for the first chance he could get to tear them apart, and they ended up disobeying God and being cast out of the garden, and that's what this picture's reminder of. Now, here's what I want us to take away from that. I mean, I know it's kind of obvious, but listen, you can have a great beginning, but I think all of our married folks will tell you, no matter how good the beginning is, if you want to have a good ending, what you got to do? You got to work. You got to work hard. Marriage is not something, a good marriage, a great relationship, good friendships, they do not happen accidentally. And Satan is always waiting to sift you like wheat. So even if we manage to get off to a good start, let's say we vote to merge and we get off to a great start, we don't all sit back and say, well, I'm glad that's done. Because what happens when you get married folks? On the day after, you say, well, I'm glad that's over. No, you are just setting out on a journey. And that's the attitude we need to think about as two churches, as we talk about, pray about, seek God's face, about becoming one. All right, so Adam and Eve, first couple in the Bible. There's another rather prominent couple that comes along shortly thereafter, Abraham and Sarah. And this is the depiction of when the visitors came from the Lord and they were sitting outside talking with Abraham. And they said, you know what, there's a promise for you. And you remember what Sarah did inside the tent there? Sarah laughed because there was talk about having a baby in advanced age. And this is a great word for our two churches. You know, I mean, these two churches, we are not two baby churches meeting in strip malls somewhere in a little corner of a room coming together to form a church big enough to be called a church. That's not what's happening. We've got a church that's two churches that are over 60 years old each. No comment on anybody in the room who is over 60, other than to say it's a sign of maturity. And here what we need to understand is when we have this maturity, we have experience, but one of the things that can happen to you if you're not careful, when you get experience, if it's not all positive, and it rarely is, amen? Oh, what happens when you have the negative experiences is you begin to be a bit cynical. You begin to just look for that. And married couples fall into this trap, right? One of the things we deal with in marriage counseling is the fact that people begin to play tapes. They begin to repeat certain phrases, words, actions. You remember when you... So let me just say that unlikely as it may seem to you today, I am absolutely sure I will commit an error as your pastor within the first 24 hours of a United Church if we go in that direction. I mean, it just happens. We're all people. And so Abraham and Sarah were a little cynical about what... Well, no, we have to let that go. Sarah had to learn that in spite of the fact that we may be a little older, we may be a little more mature, when God has a plan for you, when God makes a promise, when God opens a door, no one can shut it. So let's not be cynical. Let's embrace the new opportunity. Let's embrace the new blessings that God has for us. Well, after this young couple came another young couple, Isaac and Rebekah. And this is a famous depiction of the story. Do you remember Abraham said, oh, you know what? I need a wife for my son, Isaac. And so he sent his servant, and here's what he said, go back to our homeland. Find somebody who shares my values. Find somebody who shares our beliefs. Find somebody who's on the same kind of mission that we are on to live for God. Go back and find that kind of a wife for my son. So the servant goes. You remember what the story is? He stops at a well, and she comes out and she says, not only water for him, but waters his camels. That symbol of, get ready, wait, some of these folks kind of hinted at humility, servanthood, all of these things that are huge in marriages, in any kind of profound relationship. And so the servant sees that in Rebecca. The Bible tells the story, and in the next picture, he takes her back, and Isaac sees her on the road, and she puts on her veil, and this is what he knew, basically, before he committed to marry her, that his father's servant says, she shares your values. You don't know everything. Oh, I know we've only been together in this in a year. We don't know everything, folks. We could live together for 10 years and not know everything about each other. And I'm sure we'll find some things we like more than other things that we don't like. It's just a part of living. But what you know is you have that commitment. You say, you know what? We're really on the same path. Let's join together, make each other better together. I love that. I think it's a great image for us. One more, and I love this. I got the actual, this is actual photo. The next one. Yeah. He may look like Charleston Heston. That's actually Moses. Moses and, Yvonne DiCarlo, if I remember the actress's name right. Moses and Sephora, or Zipporah, depending on the translation you use. And you may not remember much about her. You probably remember from the movie, from the Bible perhaps, the story. Moses, after he kills the Egyptian, runs off into the desert, flees into the desert. And it's kind of a matter of, for some of you guys and gals who've gotten married, it's a matter of being in the right place at the right time. Moses is at the well, and these seven sisters come along. Seven. So there's somebody to choose from here, I guess. And seven sisters come along, and they've got their flocks, but there are some meanies at the well. And the shepherds would not let the girls water their sheep until Big Mo stepped in with the staff, and he laid the wood on them, literally. And he cleared them away and allowed them to water their flocks. And they invite Moses back to their father's tent. A deal is struck. Moses becomes part of the family. Now, what does their story have to say to us? Well, there's one thing about being in the right place at the right time. Several of us have talked about the journeys of both our churches and bringing us to this place. Now, a year ago might not have been the right time. 6 months ago, but now we're coming at the right time. Seems like God has a hand in that. There's a spirit of helpfulness. There's a spirit of gratitude. There's a spirit of sharing of resources. And they began together, Moses and Zipporah, a long journey of faith that, frankly, folks, has impacted everybody in this room. I mean, really, you trace back our history. Without Moses, God using him to bring the people out of Israel, and that journey, that's really the roots of our heritage, right? So it's a very impactful marriage on all of us. And then one last one I want you to look at, a beautiful young couple, Boaz and Ruth. Another great Bible story. I wish we had time to go through the whole thing today. You remember how Naomi was married to Elimelech. Elimelech was a Jew. They lived in Israel. But there came some hard times. They moved to Moab, because it was easier living. They could get some food. It was not a famine. Here's the problem. Moab was an accursed land. They were enemies with the Israelites, and they had been cursed by God. So you got to be careful about who you make your alignments with, okay? And they moved to Moab, and their two sons married two Moabite women, one of whom was Ruth, and the other was Oprah. No, Orpah, not Oprah. Oprah was named for Orpah, but they got its spelling wrong on the birth certificate. That's the true story. So Orpah and Ruth become the daughters-in-law to Naomi. When their husbands all die, Elimelech and the two sons, then Naomi decides to go back to Israel, and she releases her daughters-in-law to stay in Moab because they are Moabites. And Ruth refuses to stay. And you remember, if you've been to some of these weddings that are very traditional, especially as a beautiful piece of classical music based on the words of Ruth. Do not make me, entreat me not to leave thee is the name of the song. Entreat me not to leave thee. or to refrain from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. And the beautiful thing, I had never thought of it this way, but as I researched this sermon, one guy said, this is what we would call Ruth's moment of conversion. That God of Israel is my God. Jesus for us, right? The Son of God. That's who I'm committed to follow. This is Ruth's moment of choosing her God and her people. It's a moment that we come to as well. Being people, your God is our God. We are God's people together. And not to belabor it too much, but if you don't know all the customs, there was a custom called levirate marriage. The oldest relative would marry a widow, and Boaz takes Ruth in, marries her. And here's what the Bible says. So Boaz took Ruth, became his wife, she became his wife, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And the women said to Naomi, the grandmother, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer. May his name become famous in Israel. May he be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And she took the child and she raises the baby. She helps to raise the baby. She cares for him. And here's what it says. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. And they named him Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Oh yeah, that David. King David, who happened to also be, if you take the books in the New Testament, the Gospels, you open up Matthew and begin to read the genealogy of somebody rather famous to most of us, and we will run across a verse in the genealogy of Jesus, and it lists the name of Ruth, a Moabite, a woman from an accursed people, a woman with all kinds of issues, but she'd already had one marriage. Life had been full of disappointments. She'd had a life of her own. Sound familiar? Two churches have had lives of their own, but God brought her together in this life of Boaz, and what he did for his people and for the world and for the mission of God in the world was absolutely astounding. And she enters the line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God is able to do abundantly more than we ask or think. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mind has not conceived of what God has in store. That's what I think a marriage in heaven is really about. God is in the thick of it. The potential of what God has for us, I think, is absolutely astounding. And as wonderful of all these biblical relationships that we've looked at today, the advice of that we've heard from all of our members here, I take you back to that definition of a marriage made in heaven, a harmonious relationship, likely to be successful because the two parties are well-suited for one another. I believe that's what God is offering to us as we come together as His people, the bride of Christ, one church, serving and following the bridegroom, Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would just ask for your Spirit to kind of interact with each of us. You know exactly our needs and where we are, and we are not trying, God, I confess before you and before my brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to manipulate any process. I simply want to affirm my faith in how I have seen you at work, how I see you bringing two church families together as one church, what it means to have a marriage like that made in heaven. God, we are not perfect people. We are not perfect churches. We are not perfect pastors or staffs, but we are people who are committed to following after you. And we pray together, oh God, that you would be our God, your people, our people. And we bow before you and ask for your will to be done, both as we receive this motion today a little bit later in a business session, as we vote in a few weeks, but even more importantly, oh God, in our hearts, bind us together as your people. And we pray this with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.